Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for being part of my day. Thanks for hanging out with me. I love talking to you. I love introducing you to really smart people. I love talking about our small businesses and all the different things that touch us, that directly, indirectly, things that are required to operate for us to be able to do what we do, even if we don't always think about them, even if we don't always know that they're going on, things that are kind of running in the background, underground, that keep plodding along. But somebody, folks, has to manage those. Somebody has to mind those stores. Somebody has to make sure that all those unseen forces that are required for us to be able to do what we do in the marketplace, somebody has to make sure that those things are being attended to, and that they don't get upside down, that they don't get out of whack. And one of those guys, one of those hardworking and underappreciated guys, although we appreciate him around here very much, is our good buddy Steve Del Bianco, Vice President of Corporate Affairs for the Association of Competitive Technologies. Steve Del Bianco, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Jim. With an introduction like that, I guess it's worth getting up in the morning, going to work on this.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you back, Steve. As always, you know, the folks, the thing that and Steve has talked to us about this before, but it's been a little while, and it's important that we come back to this issue of internet governance. And Steve and his organization and the president Jonathan Zook, who's also an old friend of ours. They're working on these things, folks. When you go online, and you go to somebody's website, or you open up your own website, you know, you take it for granted. You know, I think sometimes, Steve, it's sort of like we get in our car and we crank it, we expect it to run. How many times a year do you contemplate what that motor is having to do under your hood? Most of the time we don't. We just crank the car, we get in, push on the gas pedal, and we go, expect to go. It's like, you know, the motor is should be automatic. Well, there's a whole organization, there's a whole system of operation behind using the internet, like sort of like that engine, isn't it, Steve?
It is, Jim, and you started with the analogy at the beginning of the program with that when you turn on the lights or pick up a telephone, you expect a dial tone to be there. It's only when you don't get a dial tone that you realize something is wrong and that you've relied upon a system that suddenly can break.
And if it breaks, then we say,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, when it breaks, we say, how did somebody let this happen?
Right, we want somebody to blame, right?
Yeah.
And then sometimes it breaks because a bad guy, a bad actor, deliberately broke it. Or another alternative is where somebody pulls fraud on you, where you pick up the phone and it isn't really the phone company's dial tone, but it's really a bad actor who wants to elicit it on your call to learn something about you that they can use against you to perhaps steal your identity. But finally, when you go to pick up a new phone number, you've added a phone, you've moved to a new location, you count on somebody to issue you a new phone number. And that is also a function that we count on and rely upon. And to bring all this back to what I'm really working on is with respect to the internet, those phone numbers are equivalent to our domain names, smallbusinessadvocate.com or askjim.biz. Those are domain names, and the group that manages those domain names is called ICANN, or the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. It's a nonprofit, private sector-led organization that the U.S. government created about 10 years ago, and sort of set it on its way to manage globally the domain name system. There's a couple of big changes coming up with ICANN, and thought maybe we could cover a few of them and how they're going to impact you and your listeners.
So, folks, think about some of you listening have had your phone number for a long time. My business phone number that in my business, the regular number, not the toll free, but the regular number, Steve, I have owned for almost 20 years. If you've been doing business with me, if you've known about me for the last 19, almost 20 years, you can dial the same number and still get me. If the telephone company subverted that, if somehow, I woke up one day and people weren't able to get to me by using that phone, I would be very unhappy about that. Who would have caused that? Well, we have the potential danger, folks, for that kind of thing to happen, right, Steve? I mean, that's not far off from that analogy. What could happen, right?
Well, Jim, what's even worse is that the ICANN organization is planning to do a brand new round of top level domains.
And when we come back, Steve's going to tell us what a top-level domain is. You already know what it is. You just haven't been thinking about it like that. And he's going to tell us what they're proposing and what you and I and he, with his help, can do about it. Stay with us, 22. Little Steely Dan bringing us back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. And I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. Those are my domain names. I have top-level domains in the form of .com and .biz, right, Steve DelBianco?
That's right, and when you wanted askjim.com, someone else had it. And they didn't want to give it up. They're not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
And they wanted to charge you an arm and a leg to take it over from them. And you couldn't come to terms. So thank goodness you had the choice to turn to another top-level domain, which in this case was .biz.
Which actually is a perfect choice because it's a business application. And I wanted .com because that is also a top-level domain. But the point is I did, as you say, I did have choices. But tell us about what's going to be happening in Egypt next week.
Right, Jim. There is such a thing as too many choices, and I think that ICANN is on the brink of unleashing too many choices, and a lot of the problems that'll come with it. So when you couldn't get .com, the good news was you could get .biz because biz is among the 20 different top level domains that the world enjoys today that are generic. Things like biz, org, info, mm-hmm. net. And there are another 250 domains that end in the two-character country codes.
Right.
.us.
CA for
UK.
Canada.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's about, call it 300. There are roughly 300 top-level domains that we've been using on the Internet so far. What ICANN is poised to do next week is to start a brand-new process of launching hundreds or thousands of new top-level domains. And the way they'll work is people will apply for them. So somebody could apply for .radio. It might be you and I starting a business. We're going to start mm-hmm. with .radio. And we think maybe we can attract radio stations, advertisers, or even radio shows to come by their address, askjim.radio.
Ah.
Now, it's going to cost us $200,000 to put our application into ICANN. ICANN will, first of all, check to see if there's someone else that has a legitimate claim to that word. I doubt that anybody would have a copyright or trademark on radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then, undoubtedly, Jim, other people are also going to be bidding on it. And when other people decide they want .radio, then we have to either be compared in some beauty contest or they'll go to an auction. So I said it was $190,000. That's just the fee to apply. It may cost mm-hmm. us far more to actually win the .radio. And then once we've won it, we have to set up the server to run it, prove that we have the technical and financial capability to run the domain, mm-hmm. and then we go out and try to sell.
In other words, to run it the way ICANN does.
Well, to run it the way VeriSign runs .com.
VeriSign runs .biz,
because right. ICANN doesn't run any of them.
That's right. ICANN doesn't have a backbone.
They're simply the gatekeeper.
Yeah, that's right.
They're just the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go out and we will try to get people like Jim Blasingame to sign up and buy smallbusinessadvocate.radio or askjim.radio.
Right.
And that process, we have to figure out what we want to charge them every year to sign up.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out what the rules will be about who will allow to sign up. We might decide we only allow
radio stations.
Why isn't
that? But you know, if I'm a true free market thinker, which I am, Why isn't that okay? Why shouldn't I? Why wouldn't it be a good idea to have that kind of opportunity for commerce?
You make a very good point, Jim. It's difficult to make the counter argument that says, "Don't give more choice. Don't let a thousand flowers bloom." And I think that's why ICANN has caved to the pressure that says we want more choice and more domains. But I have to suggest that the process they've come up with is one of a complete free-for-all, and it creates this objections process where somebody can object to a domain name, like a government might object to .sex.
Are you saying that this is tantamount to why the government won't let you and me build an interstate across a U.S. interstate or some kind? In other words, they control, in other words, the navigation of waterways, the ability to build roads, that kind of thing. Are you comparing the top level domains to something to sort of like that without, is that what you're doing?
I think that's similar. And there's a chance too that once we get through the objections and the contention process and we finally get it up, like .radio, then you have to ask yourself, what are the rules to protect people that absolutely don't want to lose their identity? You've spent a lot of time building up AskJim.biz.
Right.
You get a lot of viewers today. But the day that .radio launches, what if there's some other Jim who buys AskJim.radio?
So
now you've had AskJim.biz, you've invested a lot of time and money drawing people to it, and now this guy has AskJim.radio, and he also wants to charge you $100,000 to buy it back from him.
I guess in a marketplace, that's something I can do or not do, and I guess my job is to make sure that AskJim.biz is so compelling that people will forsake the other one more often than they will mine.
If you've really done your job and people know about Ask Jim, they go home, listen to you in the car, they get to their office, and they type in Ask Jim, and they don't know what comes at the end.
Yeah.
So they jump into a search engine
now,
and they type Ask Jim,
where
radio comes up first.
That's where
they got other guys' site by accident, and
that's
the
where
guys
the traffic
off of your good name at that point.
Now we're back to the highway and waterway and railroad angle that we were talking about. Who's going to be the traffic cop for all that?
Well, all that ICANN is basically saying is that if you've got a legitimate trademark dispute, that you can bring it through their process, and they've resolved 25,000 of these trademark disputes. And I don't really think that is adequate. I think that when this company launches .radio, they ought to publish a plan to allow rights owners like you secure in your name.
Stand by, Steve. Steve Del Bianco, folks, with the Association for Competitive Technologies. We come back. The UN has got its sights set up on some things that I want you to know about. Steve knows about it. He'll tell us. Stay well.
I'd be doggone if I wouldn't work all day.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Steve Del Bianco. Steve is Vice President for Corporate Affairs for the Association for Competitive Technologies. That's actonline.org, right, Steve?
That's right, and also netchoice.org. And NetChoice is the coalition of e-commerce companies that I lead to these ICANN meetings, like the one that's happening next week in Cairo, Egypt.
And Steve, thank you for representing us there, for keeping these people honest. And quickly, Steve, I want to get into the UN situation in a second, but quickly, tell us again, one more time, as succinctly as possible, why small business owners should care about all these new domain names that are being proposed.
For those of you who were not able to obtain the domain name that you wanted in, say, com.com, there may be an opportunity to look into other top-level domains. Jim Blasingame, for instance, looked for AskJim.biz and found it in biz. There's also .info, there's .net. There's other alternatives that you have, .us, for instance. But after ICANN launches hundreds or thousands of new domains, you're probably going to have additional choices. So keep your eye open for opportunities. At the same time, there's a risk. There's a risk if you've already got a domain name that you're quite proud of and a lot of people come to. Smallbusiness.com, say, you've got to watch out that somebody doesn't steal the same domain name in one of these new top-level domains.
Well, they wouldn't be stealing it if they bought it. If they bought it legitimately, stealing is a harsh word, isn't it?
No, it is, unless you suggest that you've trademarked it. If you're Coca-Cola, you have Coca-Cola.com, and someone takes Coca-Cola.radio, Jim, that's infringing on the Coca-Cola trademark.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody takes AskJim.radio, knowing and fully intending to charge you ransom to buy it from him, I don't think it's right either.
I own the trademark Ask Jim. It's a registered trade.
Excellent. So how much will it cost you, I ask, to fight to take that back from someone who squats on it on the new domain? Mm-hmm. What I'm insisting on next week in Cairo is that when people launch brand new top-level domains, that they have a rights protection mechanism. They have a mechanism set up so that a trademark owner like you can say, look, I get the rights to Ask Jim because I have trademarked it. No one else can get that. Now, I don't think that they have the right to charge you a king's ransom to lock it down, but I want them to reserve things that are already trademarked.
Right.
And not allow them to go into the marketplace.
Now, that's exactly... So we're talking free trade with property protection, with the protection of intellectual property. I agree with that. Tell us what the UN's up to.
Hey, I'll add this, too. It's not just protecting your intellectual property. It's protecting consumers, because what if it's really a bank name? What if it's Wachovia? And somebody buys .dot bank, so now Wachovia.bank suddenly fools people who go in and sign in on a screen that looks like Wachovia when it turns out it's just a criminal stealing your ID and password.
Steve,
I
got 2 minutes. Tell us about what the UN's up
got
to.
It. So while I'm working hard to make sure ICANN keeps the internet safe for capitalism, the United Nations has a different idea. The United Nations has for years coveted the role that ICANN plays in managing the internet in the way we've described on your show. And the United Nations once a year gets together at a big conference and talks about ways that they can sort of take over the levers of control in the Internet. And I'll be going to India the first week of December for the Internet Governance Forum. And strangely enough, I'll be defending ICANN so that it doesn't fall into the clutches of governments that want to take over the Internet.
Global governments who want to control the Internet. And that is an issue. And I think that comes back to what we were talking about earlier about our domain names and who would be in control of those, like the phone number example that we gave. So what do you think is going to happen? What do you think they're going to try to do, and what do you think we're going to have to try to do to stop them?
We're going to have to give a little bit on the U.S. management of ICANN. And I believe this time next year that ICANN will walk away from its cooperative agreement with the U.S. government, and thereby declared independence from the government that created the Internet. It'll be a little awkward, a little bit of a dicey situation, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that a government like ours has some sort of a tether of control on ICANN. So that the United Nations can't claim anymore that the U.S. government controls the Internet.
Are you saying that the U.S. government's influence over the governance of the Internet is in jeopardy right now?
It's definitely going to be diminished in about a year, significantly. And my goal is to make sure that the United Nations doesn't step into the breach of a hole left by U.S. government oversight.
Steve, when you come back...
I want the private sector to manage the Internet, because the private sector built the Internet. Every dollar spent on building out the Internet, building the content, allowing people to connect online, all of that is private sector money. And the private sector needs to manage the Internet.
I completely agree. Thank you for keeping that ideal moving through the system, Steve. Thank you for your hard work. And will you come back when you get back from your trip and tell us how things went?
I'll be delighted.
Thank you. Steve DelBianco, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.